Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. And a few ways you can learn more about GPC is to check out the ways that we are church together through worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Your bulletin has a whole bunch of announcements and calendars for you to look over. If you have any questions about those, there will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning to receive those, or you can just go ahead and nudge someone next to you and ask them. We have quite a few announcements this morning. First, how's this for a Mother's Day gift? The directories are here. I know, it's a Mother's Day miracle. We are very, very excited that they have finally arrived, and you can begin picking those up in the library following worship, or in following Sundays, they will be available in Fellowship Hall. But this morning in the library, if you'd like to pick up your first copy, anyone who had a picture taken or submitted a picture is eligible, and so are any new members who joined within the last year here at GPC. You are able to receive a free church directory. So exciting. Next Sunday, the Kirken o' the Tartan will occur here at GPC, and whether Scotland is your homeland or you claim a bit of Scottish in your heritage, or you just really love to wear plaid, come dressed in your tartan for a fabulous Presbyterian heritage celebration next Sunday. All right, we have just a few announcements. Gary, go ahead.
Good morning. First, on behalf of the trustees, I'd like to thank everyone who came out yesterday and helped us on the clean out. There was so many people, I had trouble keeping track of everyone. We got a lot accomplished, and I thank you. We could not have done it without everyone here. Second, the junior highs, our retreat is next weekend. The money and permission slips are due today. If you need another slip, I have some. I'll be selling ticket reservations down in Fellowship Hall for the baseball game. If you need another form, I have one, but they are due today. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. As your insert says, 20 days till the yard sale. Thank you to everyone who signed up to price and sort. We really need people to help set up starting next Saturday, if you could do that. There are also sign-up sheets on the kiosk today for plant and baked goods donations and for the day of sale volunteers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning. This is a very special day. My name is Kay Harder, and I'm a member of the Mustard Seed Committee. I'm here to present the 2012 Mustard Seed Scholarship, but first I'd like to let you know a little bit about the Mustard Seed Program. It was started in 1997 with a $10,000 donation from a GPC member, Frank Roberts. Frank had a vision of a program that would provide significant financial assistance to the young people of Gates Presbyterian Church who decide to pursue their undergraduate college education or who choose to attend a vocational or trade school after high school. To all who have contributed to the Mustard Seed Fund, thank you for your commitment to the wonderful young people of our congregation. I would also like to thank the rest of the Mustard Seed Committee. They are Chuck Goody-Kuntz, Polly Moore, Mary Waugh, Mike Wynn, Jim Madaw, and Jenny Barley. Thank you all for your outstanding commitment to the Mustard Seed Committee. The Mustard Seed Scholarship is a faith-based scholarship that takes its name from Matthew 17:20, which the apostles asked the Lord to increase their faith. The Lord's reply to the apostles began with the phrase, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed," the analogy being that the mustard seed grows rapidly from a very tiny little seed into a larger plant, and that like the mustard seed, the personal faith of the apostles could also flourish from just a small beginning and grow to accomplish many things. As promised at their baptisms, each of us watches and participates in the faith development of all the outstanding youth of Gates Presbyterian Church. It is quite rewarding to observe our youth regularly putting their faith into action by doing God's work in many, many ways. So the recipient of this year's four-year, $1,500 a year mustard seed scholarship is Carolyn Thornton. Carolyn, will you please come forward? Carolyn is a senior at Spencerport High School. She has participated in the life of her church in youth group, Sunday school, youth choir, work projects, teaching children Sunday school, working in the toddler nursery rooms, church dinners, church mouse bazaar, yard sale, and vacation Bible school. She's also been an elder, a deacon, and she's participated in worship as a lay reader and helped with the children's story time. In essence, she's helped out in any way she could as a faithful member of GPC. In the fall, Carolyn will attend the State University of New York at Geneseo, where she will major in chemistry with an emphasis in pre-med, with her goal of becoming a pediatric surgeon. Carolyn, your faith, like the mustard seed becoming a tree, has grown to be such an important part of your faith. So as your parents and your church family send you off to college next fall, in addition to the scholarship funds, we would like to present you with this Bible to assist you in the continuation of your faith journey. And there's also a little coin here to remind you of the mustard seed. Congratulations. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for all of our young disciples, and today especially for all of our graduating high school seniors. May you continue to guide and bless them during their college years and the rest of their lives. Amen.
And now let us worship God together.
Please join me in the call to worship. We gather to worship the one who crafted creation out of chaos. We gather to lift our praise to the God who gives us voice.
We bring the songs which have echoed in our hearts all day long.
We gather as the children of God, our joy unbroken in God's love.
Young and old, tongue, death, and perfect fish, lift the new songs of faith.
Join with me as we bring our prayers of confession to God. Jesus, friend and brother, you taught us to abide in your generous love, for it completes our lives and gives us joy. You ask us to love others as you have loved us, for it brings your creation to fruition. We sometimes struggle to love the people in our lives as you have loved us. Forgive us, we pray, and teach us your love again. Amen. We now lift our silent prayers of confession. Long ago, Jesus said to his disciples, "I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from God. You did not choose me, but I chose you Jesus speaks these words to us today. Jesus forgives us and chooses us to be his friends, sharing his great work of love. Alleluia. Amen.
As part of our church family, you have all had a hand in helping us to know God's love. This song is for you. Invite all the children to come forward. All right, we're on the move. I know, we always go to different spots, don't we? How about I have some of you sit in the pews? Will that work? Yes? Yes? You think that's a good idea? All right. Every now and then I have those. And then some of you can sit in front. How does that sound? Ready? Look at all of you bright shining faces this morning. Good morning. Can anyone tell me what special day it is today? How about all together? One, two, three. Mother's Day. Oh, I'm so glad you guys remembered. I bet your moms are too. And what a perfect song to be singing as God has blessed us with mothers who show God's love to each of us. And this morning, we have a special opportunity. We have a baby that's going to be baptized, and so all together, we get to remember and hear those promises again, that God keeps loving us, and all of us here together, keep promising to show God, promising to show God's love. That's right. So I am going to have Ayla Beth and her mom and dad and brother and sister and an elder from session come to the font. And so if I can have your eyes, your ears, and attention over to the font. You guys stay right there, though. All right? You ready? So we're going to go over here. Good morning.
Like a maze.
It's a little bit of a maze. Maybe I'll peek out so they can find me. Ready? Good morning. Good morning. You guys can come close. I always hit my head on this, so I have to make sure I know where it is. It'll happen. Don't worry. It's all right. All right. Hear these words from Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am always with you to the close of the age. And obeying the words of our Lord Jesus and confident in his promises, we baptize those whom God has called. In baptism, God claims us and seals us to show that we all belong to God. And God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. So by water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. Let us all remember with joy our own baptism, as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of Session, I present Ayla Beth, daughter of Don and Sharon Robertson, to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Sharon and Don, do you desire for Ayla to be baptized? And relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and to teach that faith to your child?
Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Ayla by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging her to know and follow Christ and to be a faithful member of his church? If so, please say we do.
Don and Sharon, in presenting Ayla for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and embrace the covenant that God has established to give us new life. As God embraces you all within this covenant, I ask you to reject sin, to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, and confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize by answering the following questions. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And do you trust him? Do you intend for Ayla to be his disciple, to obey his word and show his love, do you? Let us pray. God, our holy parent, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament and for the hope we have in your Son, Jesus. As we baptize with water, baptize us with the Holy Spirit so that we may say and be your word, and what we do may be your work. By your power, may we be made one with Christ our Lord in common faith and purpose. Eternal God, you nourish and sustain all living things with the gift of water. Your spirit hovers and moves, calling forth order and life. And may all who splash in these waters experience new life through you. Amen. All right. Amen to you. So it doesn't. What is your child's name? Good morning, Ayla Beth. What do you think? You try it?
Oh, I know. Hi, good morning.
Oh, but look. Ready? Do you want to touch the water? You can. Oh, I know. Isn't that great? Ayla Beth Robertson. Ready? I baptize you in the name of the Father. In the name of the Son. And in the name of the Holy Spirit. This child of God is now received into the Holy Catholic Church. See the love that God has given us, that we are all called children of God. Let us stand and sing together, Wonder of Wonders. But before we do that, let's pray. You guys can stick your hands in the water. Almighty God, you are giver of life. You have called us by name, and you have promised to each of us your faithful love. We pray for your child, Ayla. Watch over her. Guide her as she grows in faith. Give her understanding and a quick concern for neighbors. Help her to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, who was baptized your Son and servant and who is our risen Lord. God of grace, we pray for these parents, Don and Sharon. Help them to know you, to love with your love, to teach your truth, and to tell the story of Jesus to Ayla so that your word may be heard now and always. God, we give thanks for these promises, for this family and this child. Amen. Let us sing together. Are you going to walk around with me? What are you? Got a new friend. A keeper. All right. So these promises are real, and we celebrate the ways that our mothers, our fathers, our friends, and all those special people in our life, yes, our brothers and sisters too, I'm seeing those great hugs, share this love. So you all are dismissed to go to Sunday school or back with your parents. What do you think?
Our first reading of the word comes from Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. Listen now for the word of God. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days.
Our second scripture lesson is taken from the Gospel of John in the 15th chapter. Let us listen for the word of God. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so you may love one another. May God grant to us an increased understanding of these God's words in Scripture. And let us pray. O Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. Amen. The situation which still makes me cringe occurred all too often during grade school. It started out with the gym teacher selecting two girls to be team leaders. You probably know the rest of the story. Leaving it to them to decide how to divide the class into two teams. Always a very complex hierarchy. The feelings of the day and who was in whose group and all of that. Well, I found myself to be among the last. First, it was because I was new to the school. My family had moved when I was in fifth grade. But then it became because I was taller and was often relegated to the back of anything that was in height order. Whatever the reason, the resonance with the thought of being chosen is for me not an entirely happy one. But this is not the dynamic to which Jesus is pointing in his farewell discourses recorded in John. Rather than an uncertainty, Jesus is testifying to an absolute certainty. You did not choose me, but I chose you. It's a powerful election and one in which everyone is a winner. Everyone. Too often, though, we get it backward, just as Jesus said. We think it is about choosing Jesus or not. We think that if the preaching is persuasive, the adult study is challenging, or our programs are numerous enough, people will choose Jesus. Well, choose us, which is choose Jesus, as if he had not already chosen us. Well, that's when we get nearly everything in the Bible backwards. The scriptures are all about God choosing us. God chose to create us. God chose to covenant with us. God chose to come among us in human form. God chose us. There was never that uncomfortable moment of being on God's playground, fearing the rejection of being left out. God is unfailingly inclusive. We are the ones who think we can exclude. It is God who showers us with love, whether we receive it or not. Response to God's word, whether in the weekly or daily encounter with it, or in the powerful first realization and affirmation of a personally claimed faith, is all about our response to an already extended invitation. It's our affirmation of the trusting and the trusting of the grace of our chosenness. God calls and we say, "Me? You want me with all my weaknesses, my insecurities, my tendencies to make the wrong choice as often as the right? You want me?" And God's response is also always, "Absolutely." Chosenness may be powerful enough, but remember the words which preceded verse 16. And you'll find that I'm going backwards through our text for today. In verse 15, Jesus told his disciples, "I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father." I have called you friends. I wonder if we can give the word friend the power that is intended in these words of Jesus. How many of us understand that word to include the possibility that a relationship of friendship might even mean that we would die for a friend? I was intrigued by a movie that came out several years ago called 7 Pounds. It was about a man who was ridden with guilt over a moment of inattentive driving that led to a horrific accident that took the life of his fiancée and 6 other people. This feeling of weight and burden made him begin to give away his life to others. To one, he gives a kidney. To another, a part of his liver. To his brother, a lung. To another, bone marrow. And to one, the deed to his beach house to escape an abusive relationship. These gifts were given in atonement to people whom he considered worthy of these gifts. However, the ultimate gift he gave in love. In death, he left his heart to a woman with whom he had fallen in love. Greater love has no one but this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Well, this is way out of the league of what most of us mean when we define friendship. Friends are the ones we can count on for loyalty, for fun, for shared interests, for candor without rancor. Friends are infinitely interchangeable, especially in youth. If a friend doesn't toe the line of whatever the prevailing measure is, whether it's fashion or musical preference or athletic ability, we can shop for a better match, leaving the former friend behind as a shadowy memory. But Jesus wasn't drawing any lines which exclude. Rather, he is drawing one which brings us all closer to him. In the familiar words of Edwin Markham, he drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. Jesus' disciples were no longer in a lower position, symbolized by the word servant. It is announced in these verses that they are now friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. Knowledge is power. In this case, the power of a new relationship to God and to one another. Again, reading backward in the text, verse 12 tells us what this new relationship is based on. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. The friendship is not only just between myself or yourself and God. It's about how we relate to one another. And our guide is Jesus' relationship with us. In this context, friendship takes on a depth and height that is far greater than our human striving for popularity or loyalty or forming into clubs or packs. Friendship isn't even optional. It's essential to the expression of our faith. A commentator writes, "By his death, Jesus has constituted the disciples as a community of friends. Friendship is the reasonable passion for truly human relationship, human fellowship. It is a mutual affection cemented by loyalty. The more people begin to live with one another as friends, the more privileges and claims to domination become superfluous." I hope the story that I'm about to recount isn't so worn out that we can't appreciate its powerful message. It's thought to be a medieval rabbinic tale. There was a rabbi who wanted to see both heaven and hell, and God finally gave way to his pleading. The rabbi found himself before a door that bore no name. He trembled as he saw it open before him into a room where all was prepared for a feast. There was a table, and at its center a great dish of steaming food. The smell and the aroma inflamed the appetite. Diners sat around the table with great spoons in their hands, yet they were shrieking with hunger in that terrible place. They tried to feed themselves and gave up, cursing God, for the spoons God had provided were so long that they could not reach their faces and get the food to their tongues. So they starved because of these spoons, while the dish of plenty lay amongst them. The rabbi knew their shriekings were the cries of hell, and as knowledge came, the door closed before him. He shut his eyes in prayer and begged God to take him away from that terrible place. When he opened them again, he despaired, for the same door stood before him, the door that bore no name. Again it opened, and it gave into the same room. Nothing had changed, and he was about to cry out in horror. There was the table, and at its center the steaming bowl, and around it were the same people, and in their hands the same spoons. Yet the shrieking had gone, and the cries and curses had turned to blessings. And nothing had changed, yet everything. For with the same long spoons they reached to each other's faces. and fed each other's mouths, and they gave thanks to God. And as the rabbi heard the blessings, the door closed. He bent down, and he too blessed God, who had shown him the nature of heaven and hell, and the chasm, only a hair's breadth wide, that divides them. Friendship is a relationship. It is the one that Jesus has already chosen. That is his friendship for us. It is the way we learn to love one another. And reading the verses in reverse one more time, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Friendship, love, joy. How else would we describe heaven? Is there any better life? I don't think so. And we don't have to wait for heaven. It is ours when we take the extended hand of Jesus, who calls us friend. Amen.
Continue to lift our praise to God. We also raise those prayers of joy and concern from our community. So if you have a prayer of joy or concern, raise your hand so that an usher may come around with a microphone.
Dick Stewart, I mention our son John, who's in Afghanistan. His scheduled day back is next Monday, the 21st. So we just pray for travel mercies.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, Keisha Binko. I'd like to ask prayers for my brother-in-law, Rodney, who sustained a head injury yesterday. He was taken to the hospital in Dunkirk, and they have sent him to Erie, so quite uncertain as to the extent of his injuries. As of this morning, I really don't know. So prayers for that. And also, prayers of joy. Colin's girlfriend, Sarah, got good news this week that the chemo is doing what it's supposed to be doing, and which means she won't have to have radiation. So several more treatments of chemo, continued prayers for her healing. Thank you.
All right, I have a few prayers this morning. Continued prayers for Gwen Mantell, who is declining in health. A prayer of thanksgiving this morning for our guest preacher, Louise Armstrong, being with us. Louise served as interim pastor here for about 6 months, and it's been great having her preach this morning and also serve on call for me as Carol Ann continues her sabbatical. So we also continue prayers for Carol Ann. I have two other personal prayers, one for my dulcimer instructor who found out that she had cancer this week. So prayers for her and a very good friend of mine whose brother passed away this week. And from our children this morning, prayers that hope that Sarah feels better, prayers of joy that someone's mom got a great Mother's Day present, prayers for a lost tooth and joy that a friend came over to play yesterday. Prayers from the sixth grade class. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mom's Day. And a prayer of joy for a birthday, Sean. Prayer of thanksgiving that a dad came home from camping. And prayer, a joy to visit my mom's gravesite today. We have prayers of thanksgiving to God, prayers of thanksgiving that God is everywhere, and prayers of thanksgiving for a mom whose birthday was a few days ago. Let us continue together in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we are called to love one another here with the kind of love that Christ displayed, patient, respectful, strong. Love must take the form of service and compassion, of hope and proclamation, of patient waiting and erving striving for the good of all people. Holy God, we thank you for this Mother's Day, for the women in our lives who reveal your love through the ways they live their lives. We also recognize that it isn't the easiest day for everyone. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn for you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experienced loss this year through miscarriage, failed adoption, or a child running away, we mourn for you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make it harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have a warm and close relationship with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who will have emptier nests in the upcoming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. We remember you. Mothering God, open all our hearts today and imprint your message of love upon them, that all we say and do is done in your name and for the sake of your people and world. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us continue our time of thanksgiving by acknowledging those many blessings in our life and offering them back to God.
Creator and loving God, each of us is a fragile miracle, evidence of God's creative hands and amazing grace. We are each unique, unrepeatable gifts to the world. We are proof of God's love. And so we who are gifts of creation now give gifts to our Creator, gifts brought in love. Amen.
Thank you. forth into this world, keeping in your hearts, in your minds, and in your actions our charge for this day, to love one another, remembering that first of all it is that our God through Jesus Christ loves us with an extraordinary love. And the blessing of God, God who is our creator, our God who is our redeemer and our sustainer, this blessing be upon you both now and forevermore. Amen.